We are Natalie and Matthias. We welcome you to our conversations with B2B ecosystem experts and platform founders. Our goal is to uncover what they learned and help you to launch and scale platforms, marketplaces, and business ecosystems. Enjoy!
To this new podcast in our series Podcasts for Future. I'm Natalie Dumas-Lamborghini and I'm here with my co-host Matthias Walter. Hello, Matthias.
Hi, Natalie.
Hi, and today we are very proud to welcome a thought leader on platforms, Mr. Evangelos Avramakis, who's head of digital ecosystems, ecosystem R&D at Swiss Re, and is a part of the research arm of Swiss Re. Hi, Evangelos.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you for having me invited.
So Evangelos is based in Zurich, and today this podcast is actually the second part of our mini-series on ecosystem strategy. And who best to talk to than somebody who's a thought leader in a big insurance company, so Swiss Re. And Swiss Re has actually, because it's... such a big company based in many countries across many different markets, has got to manage very complex ecosystems. So as a result, they've conducted a lot of research and thought leadership on platforms and ecosystem. And they have the broadest research, in fact, from an insurance perspective on platforms and ecosystems. So today, Evangelos is going to share a little bit of that or some insights of that thought leadership with us. And we're going to talk about some topics like, you know, what is the difference between ecosystems and platforms? He's going to give us some insight also about some of the latest research. So maybe it's better to let you talk, Evangelos. So if you could introduce yourself and tell us a little bit more about what you're doing for our listeners.
Perfect. Thank you. So I'm Evangelos, part of this Swiss Re research arm within a Swiss Re called Swiss Re Institute. My focus areas is about, you know, the kind of mid to long-term development. So what is happening outside, how it's happening outside, what are the kind of emerging technologies, but also consumer behavior, but also businesses that are changing the current settings. And what does this mean finally to the insurance industry? And yes, then finally to us as a Swiss Re company. So it's really about forward-looking market developments, which have sooner or later implication on our industry. And part of that is for sure how platforms and ecosystems are evolving as part of the new business models that are emerging all over the places. And there we could focus on, in general, what are ecosystem and platforms, but also we could go more into specifics where we talk about mobility, where we talk about healthcare, where we might talk about agriculture or supply chain, because the underlying drivers are more or less the same. And that's exactly an area which is very, very much interesting to us, because in the very end, it's going to be a data-driven, you know, business in the future going forward. And this is why it's very, very important to have a very early understanding about these key developments and drivers, and then to really try to adapt actually their own insurance business model towards the future, if you will.
Thank you for this intro. We know each other also for a while, so we have also done some keynotes together and some workshops together. So it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I can fully underline that you are a thought leader in this topic. But for our listeners, so that they can better understand, can you give them a kind of a brief intro? Where do you see what is the difference between an ecosystem and a platform, just in general? So that as a high level intro.
Sure. I mean, let's focus a little bit perhaps on mobility, because that's a very good case to explain it. So what in general I try to to distinguish between three different types of, you know, business models, if you will. One is the kind of digital product where you access more or less the vehicle. This could be a car or a scooter or a bike in a digital way where you more or less offer a kind of insurance based on this kind of vehicle. This is a digital product where you might get access to some kind of data and then you propose the kind of value proposition. That's the first thing. When it comes to platforms, what you try to create is a kind of try to arrange it in a very central way, the demand and supply side. So who is offering the services or the products and who is demanding this kind of product and service? So you combine actually the demand and supply side the best you can. When it comes to ecosystem, you don't only focus on one area where you don't only focus on cars. So when we talk about Uber as a platform, where you try to enrich actually the experience and then try to provide additional services, this could go in any direction. This could go from different kinds of types of modes, different types of vehicles. So it can go from scooters to bike to everything, but also it could go to any direction when it's about, you know, adding new financial services or healthcare services on top of that. Then we talk about a wider kind of platform because you involve other stakeholders around. Then you create a so-called ecosystem where it's not only about one vertical where you try to connect the demand and supply side, where you enrich with many, many other partners and where you also exchange data and insights among different partners in order to leverage actually the value of the ecosystem. So leveraging value is actually one of the key elements, especially in ecosystem designs, where you try to enrich the experience, but also increase massively the stickiness to the relationship to different stakeholders, not only to consumers or suppliers, also to other partners involved. That's a key difference, I would say.
When you're describing it like this, it seems to me that a platform sounds easier than ecosystems. And having orchestrating a journey around and within an ecosystem seems like quite a complex thing to do. How would you give some differences in terms maybe of complexity, in terms of steps that you need to take between the two?
So very interesting is that there's no super ecosystem around the world that started with an purely ecosystem design, saying, by the way, we want to become an ecosystem and this is why we aggregate all the services and partners together. They started very, very small with a very dedicated use case, and this is what they've done perfectly. So if I compare, as an example, Grab in Southeast Asia, which is now becoming the super app of Southeast Asia, they started with transportation. So they more or less bought Uber and started with, let's say, a very decisive value proposition, how to bring people from A to B and how to generate a platform that you're able actually offering the services. And then over time, they extended the value proposition. And this is exactly the same case with Amazon, where they started with selling books at the beginning, and now they more or less sell everything, if you want. And all the ecosystems, no matter whether they're called Rakuten or Gojek or Tencent or Alibaba, they all started very decisively in a very, very narrowed focus. They all started with rather a platform in comparison to they developed over time becoming an ecosystem. And now it looks like an ecosystem. It looks like, wow, they have every partner involved. This is just really huge and big, but this was not the initial starting point. The second aspect, and that's to me the other point that is very important, is they thought about what are the relevant services from a consumer journey perspective that make sense to add into our most natural kind of, you know, product. So what's going to be the next thing consumers do? So they didn't think on a vertical space, thinking about how can I sell X, Y, Z. They thought about what could be before and what could happen after. And this is why they extended actually the value proposition. And that's to me the second aspect. First of all, the platforms, demand supply side, very narrow field, and then extending the value proposition towards where the consumers, or how the consumers behaving.
But do you think that, because we often get that question, those who are actually successful now in building those big ecosystems, did they actually have this in mind already, at the beginning? Or do you just start with a platform and see where it takes you?
I think you always have a kind of vision, right? What you can achieve. But first of all, you need to prove that you can get traction and that you can scale. So there are just two angles to look at it. One is you enter a business model. Let's take Uber, and then you try to scale fast at the very first, you know, at the very beginning. So how can you extend the value proposition Uber into different markets at the same time? That's the primary goal first. You don't extend the value proposition, as I was describing before, into other areas of life or into other mobility areas when it comes to Uber. So what you do first is you scale first, and then you add other value-adding products or services on top of that. So the scalability is always, or most of the cases, the first thing you do. And then you start, because you need to get access to trusted relationship with consumers and with suppliers. And if you got this right, then you can extend naturally actually the value proposition.
And to enough data, I suppose, to then be able to choose which next services you're going to deploy.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because the data in the very end is at your core. So you use, you analyze, and you model based on the data availability, you model actually the best customer experience. As an example, where do you need to drive the Uber cars where the demand will be highest? So only to get this right, you need to really to understand where the next kind of, you know, demand is coming from. This is why you need to reuse the data sets available or the models available in order to drive more value, because you need to provide value on both sides similarly, on the demand side, but also on the consumer side. So it's not like doing it for one area might be enough. You always need to increase value on all stakeholders involved. At the beginning, it's only supply and demand. Over time, it might go into different directions.
So you mentioned before that ecosystems evolved out of platforms. So what we have seen is like Amazon, et cetera, all the big platforms evolved into an ecosystem, starting in a niche and then becoming a broader value proposition. Now we see COVID-19 and Corona. Do you see that this is accelerating this trend, or do you see also some other changes regarding the behavior of the consumers, maybe also the expectations from platforms they have? How do you see, what is the impact of COVID-19 to this whole ecosystem?
Let's split up perhaps in two areas. One area is how to get really prepared in order to be able to play in the at COVID or post-COVID world. And the second is the consumer behavior. And perhaps the third one was the implication to the platform business and ecosystems. So the first one is about, you know, many companies have introduced a kind of virtual agent kind of proposition. So you want to buy something in a store, you have a camera, so you can talk to the agents sending you the stuff, especially in retail. This is common sense. So what you're using is Zoom or Microsoft Teams, whatever, as the kind of alternative channel in order to do things in the same way like before. So you just shift the channel from physical to digital. But what you have not done, and that's the problem, is the underlying processes are still there where they were before. So if you not have an end-to-end engine, if you not do that in a very digital and data-driven way, just because of COVID, this doesn't change. So you might have a tactical solution, which works perfectly for interimistic kind of a solution shift or a sales channel shift, but you might need to invest in technologies and in the business model where you can easily scale. So the scalability is actually what matters now in the COVID phases. So if you compare Ping An Good Doctor, which is a fully digital kind of value proposition, so this is part of the wider ecosystem of Ping An Group, and this is focusing only on healthcare. First thing, they integrated a lot of services that really make sense, that really add value to the consumer on the post-COVID, on the COVID side. So they aggregated, you know, all the information that are important for the pandemic. They added emergency calls, epidemic maps, everything you can imagine, just focusing on this particular topic on COVID. But because they were a data-driven business model, it was very easy to them to extend or to scale the value proposition. I think they had about 900% of download increase over this short period of time. So this magnitude shows that the data-driven business models can really scale. An incumbent company, which is not really very, very digital-driven in the very end, might struggle on the scalability side. So data-driven business models are enabling or are best enablers for scaling, especially in the COVID area. The second aspect is focusing now on the consumer. So what is now relevant to the consumer? So what we have seen is a massively increased digital adoption in all the areas. So everybody's using, you know, the new tools like MS Teams. So this is, you know, this is becoming more a kind of a golden standard. It was not before, but now it's for everybody a golden standard. Everybody's using delivery services. Everybody's using e-commerce shops. Everybody's using this digital enabled services in a much wider pace than before. So the purchasing behavior has also changed just because of the COVID. And then the mobility area has changed in addition. So if you don't commute to work, your mobility patterns actually changed. What does not change is the underlying insurance for your mobility pattern, which is a kind of a problem to my mind. So if behavior is changing, the insurance proposition should adapt to that level as well. And there's another on the healthcare side as well. So awareness in health has changed dramatically. People are interested in understanding pandemics, but also understanding what they should do and what they shouldn't do, where to get access to services. And this is digitally actually enabled in the very end. And the last point is, to my mind, one of the most important ones, the interpersonal behavior is changing massively. So the way we interact with each other through the digital channels are just not the same compared to the physical one. So this means all the empathic interactions might suffer, right? And this is why, to some extent, the loneliness, the mental stress might just increase because everybody works from home. And this has an additional flavor. So all these areas, so digital adoption, mobility, purchasing behavior, the health awareness, and the interpersonal behavior, this has now a fundamental impact on platforms and ecosystems, because if you can access the services and if you can access them very, very conveniently in the wider range, you will do this just because it's very, very convenient to get everything under one kind of umbrella, under one kind of, you know, app, if you will. And that's actually the further driver of this digital enabled business models, where you get access to services as a consumer because the services actually matter to you most. And the digital aspect is actually the key driver of that.
Dear listeners, I hope you enjoy our podcast and you can learn more about building and scaling a successful platform business. I'm Matthias, CEO of Fastbreak One. And as you know, we at Fastbreak One are platform entrepreneurs by heart. Since over 20 years, we are building new platforms, and this makes us one of the most experienced platform venture builders around the globe. If you are a corporate and you tried out different strategies, consultants, IT partners, but your platform initiative struggles to scale, please check out our assessment services. Learn more about our experience and our practices of work at our website www.fastbreak.one, or send us an email to contact@fastbreak.one. And now let's go back to the conversation. So there's this, you as a company, you have to invest, or you continue to invest into the capabilities to leverage data, to your kind of intelligence capability to leverage the data and build up value propositions based on the data, and also to have a closer look at the consumer behavior and how this changed and what is required. How do you see is also the B2B business impacted by COVID-19 and maybe the changed consumer behavior? Is there also now a new room for platforms opening up, or
In the B2B context, there are some other drivers that are to some extent matter most. One which is very, very crucial is you need standardized connections, you need standardization in order to make this platform business play. So no matter what you exchange, products and services, you need to standardize them in a way that it's, you know, you can offer them on a platform. So this might be slightly different. The other thing is that in comparison to B2C platforms, the B2B platforms, the demand, the supply is not the problem. The demand is where the problem is. And on the other hand, the B2C models of the B2C platforms, this is the key driver, is actually the demand side, not the supply side. So you have the opposite directions on that space. And the other thing that I alluded just before on the standardization, if you need to involve other stakeholders or other suppliers, so the supply chain of the supply chain, other suppliers that are supplying you, if you will, you know, this kind of standardization of the data sets is crucial, because you need to exchange this value with different partners on the platform. And this is, to me, much, much different compared to that. If you get this right, then you have the productivity increase that is actually overarching goal, which is the key driver. So productivity is leading actually the game. And on the consumer side, it's more the customer experience.
So, Evangelos, could you give maybe an example to illustrate your two points, or two examples, one for each, please?
So, sure. So let's take agriculture. So if you try to find out somebody who is delivering you, let's say, the seeds for the farmer, you need to standardize it, because it's not only one farmer you will approach, you will perhaps add different kind of sellers on the platform that you can sell the goods. So you need to find a standardized way how you interact with the supply side, but also the supply of the supply side. So this means, unless you don't have a standardized way of doing that, you need to align the whole platform environment and doing that, it's not going to be possible actually to exchange anything, just because you do that on a digital way. So imagine before, if you could sell something on paper, you have the paper doing that. Now you do that on a platform. The platform means that you need to structure the data, you need to standardize the data in order to be able actually to do exactly these value exchanges the best way. That's a huge, huge difference than before.
And so understanding the change of behavior of the consumers is one thing, and also understanding what is the impact to the value chain, et cetera, and how I have to reposition myself for the future or after in the post-COVID world, but how to change the execution is the other thing. So how can you, you are part of a think tank or a R&D department, and you are helping Swiss Re to better understand the whole thing. But how can you also influence the decision-making of your executives to really make changes to the business model? So is there any kind of learning you can say, this is something you have learned in talking to executives, in talking to leaders, and to help them to really making the change in the business model?
So this might depend on the leadership as such, right? So who is in the board of directors or the executive teams. And I think we are very happy that we have a very experienced kind of team who is very interested in getting things right also for the future. So we look into the future because we want to create what is really relevant and what creates value to to us, but also to the societies. So we are not really short time focused, if you will. So this means I don't need to convince everybody, like, you know, evangelize the whole organization until they start listening to what I'm saying. This is not the way it works. And I think what we do with our kind of work and publications, we start engaging with us internally, but it doesn't mean that we are the kind of execution arm of doing that. But also we start engaging and sharing the insights with our partners and clients. So we do that for internal purpose, but also supporting actually our current customer base and client base. So it goes to the right. So we are a shared knowledge company, if you will.
And I think this goes also towards what you're saying to me is it goes with the ecosystems thinking. I always make the parallel when I'm talking about platforms and ecosystem. A platform orchestrates an ecosystem, even if we start initially with maybe only supply and demand, but eventually there are other partners, etc. But as you rightly said earlier, if we need to make sure that each party will get benefit and will get value from the platform. Otherwise, just like in nature, if an element of the ecosystem doesn't or fails or doesn't find interest and leaves the ecosystem, then the whole ecosystem fails. So I think what you just described sharing what you are learning with your ecosystem goes towards that in my mind, this ecosystem spirit.
Exactly. I think the first challenge is that we all talk the same language. Right? What is a platform? What is an ecosystem? Why is this so relevant? And why this might have a huge impact on the business? I think the first angle is only to educate people that we can talk about the topic. It's something like AI. Everybody talks about AI, but what is it exactly? I mean, that's the same topic. You need to educate in order to, people are very comfortable. So the empowering of the organization on that piece is very, very important. Second is the speed of these different platforms and ecosystem developments. They vary among globally. So what happens in China might not be very much appropriate to Europe, because we don't have this environment. We don't have this underlying enablement infrastructure. So many things are just missing, and many things are perhaps not also allowed doing it the same way. So every region and market has a different kind of culture, but also attitude, but also infrastructure. So the underlying kind of enablement technologies might vary among different regions and locations. And that's the second aspect. The third aspect is, you know, and from which business unit angle are we looking into that? So is it lines of business on health? Is it on mobility? Is it on supply chain? Is it on agriculture? So that's another angle which makes it also more difficult, because this might vary even more in different regions around the world. So this is not that easy. This is why a lot of the discussions are very on a local level, regional local level, which makes absolutely sense. Some of them might have a wider regional or even global impact, but actually you start on a local level on doing that.
For me, it also sounds a little bit like that with COVID-19, our focus right now is really on health, the economy, etc., and what is the impact and how can we get rid of, let's say, COVID-19 and come to a kind of a new normal. But what about sustainability? This is a huge thing for our whole mankind, so and our planet. So this is also putting a lot of pressure on our society and our businesses, etc. So how do you see sustainability and COVID-19 and the changes in consumer behavior belong to each other? And
So I think the good thing is that, you know, even pre-COVID, this topic was there. So, you know, it got a lot of traction already. Now with the COVID discussion, it goes a little bit in the background, but this doesn't mean that this is not going to stay relevant in the future. So I think just after post-COVID, you will see everything around ECGs, all this kind of, you know, developments that are really, really important for humankind. So I would say even there will be more pressure getting into this direction, and a new business model will emerge just because of that, for sure. So it's just something we don't see, but it's not something that doesn't happen in the background.
Okay, and so you mean you with the sustainability aspects, we have seen also a lot of changing behavior in the consumers. So they have bought other kind of products. They have looked at where is this product coming from. So also companies needed to adopt and or adapt their supply chains and so on. So how do you see also how this will be an impact on forming ecosystems? So when I building up an ecosystem and I move from a platform towards an ecosystem, what kind of those aspects I need to consider?
So here we're talking about the desired outcome. If the desired outcome is profitability and sustainability, if you will, then you need to drive the whole platform, ecosystem, all the players towards that goal. So you need to align the incentives that this will happen. If you don't align the incentive, you cannot expect that something will happen. This could come from outside pressure where you might not get access to assets or to credits, whatever, so to funds, if you will. But on the platform ecosystem, if you derive an index, let's say, on sustainability, and you don't add this kind of, make this very transparent, this transparency and the driving forces towards the kind of goal will drive also the ecosystem development into this direction. So I would expect that going forward, we will see many more indicators from a transparency side on platforms and ecosystems, but also we will see incentives going in this direction, no matter whether the incentives are coming from corporations, from governments, from the public domain, I mean, from any direction. So I think the pressure will increase, which is actually a very good sign.
Yeah, this is also what we see with a lot of companies. They are measuring themselves against those UN sustainability goals and put some metrics on them and say, okay, let's keep track about where we are against those goals and what can we give back to the society, to the planet, etc. So not just for profit. Coming to the end of our podcast, we always ask our guests a kind of a final question. So Evangelos, what would be your most important advice to other leaders regarding platforms and ecosystems based on what you have learned in the last years?
So I think one of the many people see what is happening around us. So it's not like, you know, people are not aware of what is happening. The ultimate question is always, how can you get prepared and how can you get ready? Because you really need to do things in a slightly different way. And the ultimate question is, can you do that within the core of the organization, within the core of the classical incumbent setup? Or do you need to create a kind of separated business unit in order you can start thinking about how to get this done right? So to me, key is if you don't separate it as a separate discussion from strategy to implementation, to execution, to piloting, whatever, you will always try to measure it with the same KPIs. And because this is a new venture, a new journey you will go, because you don't know how to align the value proposition. You don't know how to align how to get access to data and what you do with the data sets you will get access. Everything will be new. This means that you cannot expect that you will do that at the very, you know, with the first pilot the best way. You just cannot expect that. So if the KPI will be to make profit in the first year, I'm just not sure that this is the most appropriate KPI for getting into this kind of new world. So my advice back will be, if you really take this seriously and you want to get, you know, get started in this journey, do this aside of the organization. Try to protect it, cocoon it, but don't integrate it at the very, very beginning, because you will start killing it before it's actually born.
Yeah, very good advice. It's also what we have learned when building up ventures, that you will be very fast be tracked into back into the mother organization, and then you will have a lot of also political discussions and other obstacles you have to overcome, but not building up the business. So thank you, Evangelos, for joining our conversation here. And for the listeners, if you are interested in more about the research, Swiss Re has done a lot of that, have also published a lot of reports. Please go to their website. We will also put the link to the reports into our show notes. And so you can follow Evangelos for more, and we highly recommend to follow him and also the outcome of the research institute. Thank you, Evangelos, for joining. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Evangelos. Thanks, Matthias.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by Fastbreak One, your platform venture builder. If you want to learn more about our services and how we help corporations to launch and scale platforms, please visit our website www.fastbreak.one. And don't forget to tune in 2 weeks for a new episode.